Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to a new podcast called The More Phenomenal Hockey Show. I am Michael Lindenbaum. I am your host. And the way this show works is that we have a Power Rangers or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles actor who happens to be a big-time hockey fan talking hockey. This is a podcast that came up out of Power Morphicon this past summer, where a couple Power Rangers and the Turtles actor was like, hey, let's talk hockey. We always like to talk hockey. We want to do a panel in 2026, so let's do this. So joining me for this debut episode of the More Phenomenal Hockey Show, we have the man who played Shredder in Michael Bay's 2014 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Toru Masamune. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. This is my first ever sports podcast. I feel like I can, cross that one off the bucket list there. It's pretty cool. We do it all the time, right? We just talk about stuff. So why not do it on a podcast, right? So,
and one of the interesting things, and people are going to learn this, is that, you know, when we're at conventions and we're doing like the shows, and if anyone had watched the interview that I did with you at Power Morphicon, we talk a little bit about your time doing TMNT and, you know, not coming back for the sequel and stuff like that. But we spent most of the time talking hockey.
Yeah. Because it's what we really want to be doing.
Yeah, exactly. And but it also comes down to the thing of, you know, you guys are humans just like us. You have other interests just like us. And it's just fun to be able to sit down and actually get to talk about the things that interest you.
Yeah.
So, and that's one of the biggest reasons that why this podcast is here, to allow you, those Ranger actors, and maybe other Turtles actors who love hockey, an opportunity to talk about something that they love.
Yep.
So with that said, you, sir, are an Edmonton Oilers fan. Why don't you give the people a little bit of a history about yourself, how you became an Oilers fan, and then we'll actually start doing like a little preview of the Edmonton Oilers.
Sure. I'd love that. So I always pride myself in being the worst hockey player I know, because this is my pedigree. Parents came here from Japan, and I was born in Madison, Wisconsin. Just a few years there. Don't remember a whole lot about it. And then, you know, my dad is a research professor. He's just trying to chase tenure, right? So you end up all over the place. So next job for him was in Pittsburgh. So we spent a few years there. He's at Carnegie Mellon. And then he gets a great offer up in Edmonton. And that started first grade for me, I guess, in grade one, as we say in Canada, up through grade 12. And those were my real formative years. And Yeah, and there were good years for Edmonton too. So, just in general. So it was kind of, I don't know, how it is. It's probably like this on the East Coast as well for you, Mike. You certain towns, you hockey's a different deal, right? I mean, you kind of live and breathe it. So it's kind of a that's kind of how I grew up. And yeah, I just loved it. I didn't know anything. I wasn't watching basketball or anything. It's just hockey, right? And then we moved to Boston after that.
So
So
you just
and
go from hockey town to hockey town to hockey
hockey
town.
town, and actually we lived right next to Boston College. So it just couldn't, So anyway, and then decided to ended up in LA, and of course LA wins a cup. It just keeps following me around, this hockey thing. It just keeps following me around. So so that's it's one of those things, and it's nice. I've been, so I've been an Oilers fans, for quite some time, but it's been, it's been kind of painful for the last little while. And just being a Canadian hockey team fan has been kind of painful. And and I saw McDavid in the early years when Edmonton was terrible, but he was phenomenal. So I got to, see that, and that was exciting, but it was just it was rough, it was rough. So this year it's different, right? This year's different. So anyway, but that was sort of my background, how I ended up an Oilers fan. So it was a little more dormant, but now it's just full on excitement because, yeah, it is the team's on a mission right now, for sure, for sure.
And speaking of that, last season, Oilers, they go 49, 27, and 6. And they are the current Western Conference champions. So they're going into this season. They fell short in game 7 against the Florida Panthers in the Stanley Cup final. So you know that this team is going to be hungry this season after being just that close to being to the cup.
Like maybe a shot, right? Technically, it's a shot, right? That thing. Yeah.
So, but there is some there's some rollover with your team though. Out is forwards Ryan Fogle, Ryan McLeod, Sam Carrick, Sam Gagner,
Yeah.
as well as defenseman Vincent Desharnais and goaltender Jack Campbell, who we will talk about Campbell in a little moment later, because he was actually in the news and the hockey news today about player assistance program for him, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. But in, you now have Jeff Skinner on offense, Victor Arvidsson, who you
Yep.
got from LA. Skinner was obviously
Yes.
bought out
Yes.
by Buffalo.
Yep.
You picked up Matthew Savoy via trade from the Buffalo Sabres. That's a very promising prospect right there.
Yep.
And then you picked up some depth defensemen in Josh Brown and Connor Carrick. However, one thing that the team is going to have to deal with is the loss of Evander Kane, who is out due to injury right now.
Yep.
So
Yep.
when you look at some of the this these changes that took place, but you still see that your core is still there. And especially the fact that it should also be brought up that Ken Holland stepped down as general manager, and Stan Bowman, who was just recently reinstated after the Chicago Blackhawks sexual abuse scandal that took
Right.
place, is now the general manager there in Edmonton. Oh, and you also lost Dylan Holloway
Yes. Yes.
and Philip Broberg
Philip Broberg, yeah, St.
to
Louis,
St.
right?
Louis
St. Louis.
via the offer sheets.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
So you lost those two guys. How are you looking at your team now with these losses, but also with some of the gains that you've gotten for this season?
Well, I think as you're saying, the main thing is the core is there. I mean, I think the signing of Draisaitl was great because that's all tied with McDavid too, right? I mean, that's all.
Yeah, because he
It's
signed an
all.
8-year deal, and
Yeah.
McDavid, I believe, is in the last year of his deal. So all eyes are now on McDavid in that
Yeah, and
regard
I'm
for them.
sure there were many conversations before Draisaitl, signed on the dotted line. It's sort of like, dude, are you sticking around? That kind of thing. I'm sure there had to be. So to me, I don't know. You never know what's going on within people's lives, but to me, it sort of looks good. So there's a solid core there. And I feel like it's I mean, I've been watching the preseason. I feel like it's the same team. Like, I don't feel, in fact, they're looking good. I don't know. I've been watching the preseason. They haven't been winning all the games, but I'm just watching their power play and just the way they move around. And I think Arvidsson's fantastic. I mean, I think he's working really well. I think I'm really excited now too, because now you got some pretty two scary first two lines, right? I mean, I wouldn't really want to be on the other team, saying, oh, okay, well, McDavid's d line's done now. We'll take Draisaitl and Arvidsson. That's a tough, that's a, those are tough lines to face. And so I think they look good. And I definitely like Arvidsson. I think is a fantastic addition. The Broberg, I mean, the young guys, losing those guys, maybe in the future that might, it would have been nice to have them around, but they replaced them. I don't know how these other ones, there's that Emberson. There are a few other people that are there. So it's a bit of, as always, the off season is, right? There are definitely losses. But I look down when I'm watching the preseason. I don't feel like, oh man, this team fell apart. And I know, this it's nice, right? You see, especially when I watch the power play and they bring everybody on. And I just it's just like, you just like seeing some old friends out there, and they're just like, I don't know why they look almost in more communicado than they were last season. I mean, I just think it's they're not always scoring. They're missing the net. I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah, that's preseason for you.
Yeah, there's a preseason, but man, they're moving it around, and it's just it's fun to watch. So I and you're talking about the motivation. I keep the, I keep there a couple of guys on there, right? Skinner, I mean Jeff Skinner, Corey Perry. These guys, they've got a really, I mean, there are a lot of people that, and not to mention Connor McDavid, right? And all that, and Draisaitl made a commitment. Everybody is so hungry right now. I mean, it's not like I don't know, and I feel it. Like even in the games that they've lost in the preseason, they look hungry, like they really want it. And so I don't know, man. But sports is funny, right?
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Jeff Skinner in his entire career has never played in the playoffs.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
It's like,
like he's that one guy who's just been around for so long. It's kind of like Kyle Okposo. I think Okposo had played in the playoffs, I think maybe with the Islanders early on, but he never did with Buffalo. And then, he gets his one shot, the cup, he got it, and now he's, rode off into the sunset. But yeah, if it's like, could that be the case for Skinner this season? Because I know obviously Buffalo bought him out for a reason also, so you also have to kind of look at that and go, what Jeff Skinner are we going to get with the Oilers? Are we going to get the guy who only really cares about scoring goals and not back checking and playing the other side of the game? Or are we going to get somebody who's going to buy in and be a real contributor to the team, not just on the score sheet, but also in our own zone when we need it, type of deal.
Well, I feel like, yeah, and that's always a question mark. I'm not super familiar with him as his personality or any of that really. And yeah, you never know what you're gonna get. I've seen little moments during the preseason, but I don't know who you're gonna get, but there is, I think the culture right now in Edmonton, the locker room is very good. That's sort of my feeling. I think the culture there is, let's win. And you even think about Connor McDavid, who said, you know what, I think he made some excuses. He's never going to shoot again. And really, and he decided to say, look, I got my whatever 62 gold, blah, blah. I don't need that anymore. I want a cup. And he figured out how to do it, with his assists, and all that. And saying, so people are making the sacrifice, especially I feel like anytime you have a team and the people at the top are making sacrifices, it's going to trickle down. And I don't get the sense. I don't really get the sense. I'm obviously not in the locker rooms, but I don't get the sense that people are, I think they really want to win the cup and they're not in it for themselves, and they figure out how to win. So I don't know, but I don't know anything about Skinner, what he's like. So, but you're right. It's a bit of a question mark, but
And one question I have to ask you is, have you seen the clips or have you watched the behind the scenes series on Amazon Prime
No,
with
that's
the
that.
NHL? Because there have been clips coming out, and like I think like a month ago we saw a clip of McDavid just kind of,
Yelling.
and then apparently yesterday, and for those wondering, we're recording this on Friday, October 4th. Yesterday we ended up seeing a more extended clip
Oh, of that same
of that same thing. But one of the interesting things is you could see one of the trainers taking the curtain and covering up like the guys in the locker room, because it's like so much for all access, eh?
Yeah.
It's like,
Well, what was that? What was that? It's like this is not good enough.
yeah,
This
it's
is
like
the
this not
final.
yeah this
Wait, what's it?
this is the effing final. We need to dig the F in, and
And
you
dig
know,
in right
and like,
now.
yeah, it's like because they had just lost, I believe, game five. I think that's what it was. I think it was the after game five, and they're getting ready to head back to Edmonton for game six. So
So, I think it's interesting too. I think they're one of the oldest teams right now, I believe.
I'm
I don't
not
know who,
100% sure. I don't have
but they're
the
up
average
there.
ages,
They're
but
certainly not a team of youngsters. I mean, there are young guys on there, but I believe it's one of the older ones. And I always kind of feel like any time that happens, the teams decide we're just going to win the cup now. Let's not worry about the future. It's just, and I think, maybe even like Broberg, those people just saying, you know what? We need a cup right now. This is what we need right now. And sort of like, so everything about it says, there's a window, and I don't think that it's a one. I think everybody's aware. I'm sure Connor McDavid's very aware. There's a window, but that's probably why he's so impassioned, because he's running out of time and he must know it. And I'm sure that, I don't know, we all have that, right? Where we sort of think we deserve better or something. I don't know. We all have those moments like, why am I allowing this to happen or whatever? And he's always been, about team. I think he's an amazing captain. But that's got to piss him off. Right. If people aren't saying, are if you guys you guys are not doing everything to help us win a cup right now, that's a problem, so I kind of feel like, the nice thing is it's come from the top, and we all know that's how teams work, right? It all comes from the top. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell. I mean, hockey's so competitive now. I mean, I go and I'm thinking, I'm sitting there getting spanked by the Kraken in the preseason. I know it's a preseason, but I'm thinking, ooh, I
I mean, you
mean,
also have to look at preseason, like how many of the actual veterans are in that lineup too, because you also really do use the preseason to look at guys who are younger, seeing what they need to work on. So we send them back to juniors or back to the AHL. You tell them, hey, this is what we need you to work on. Or even guys who are just on that cusp of making the roster and who are fighting for that roster spot. You really want to see what those guys can do. So you don't really see the veterans, especially with what's been going on the last couple of weeks in the preseason with like Patrick Laine and some of the other players that have gotten like big name players who have been injured in the preseason. So now, of course, like people like Pierre LeBrun are going on about like, oh, we need to shorten the preseason or we need to get rid of it. And it's like, calm down, Pierre. Most of the superstar players don't play that often. Like, I think Alex Ovechkin has only played like one game so far this preseason. So he's I know he's going to play tomorrow night because that's the last preseason game for the Capitals, and so you're going to pretty much see the lineup in the last preseason game.
I've always wondered about that, to the motivation behind that, because I don't know how good you are. Wouldn't you want to practice before the season starts? I never understood that concept of like,
Well, part
I mean,
of
I know it's
it
not
is
up to them necessarily, but
Well, part of it is that you want to save them for the regular season because, I mean, let's be honest, an 82-game schedule is very long and grueling, and it's not like the NBA where you just start giving guys nights off just for the sake of giving them nights off and stuff like that, or where you have a playoff spot locked up already, and we're just going to rest guys because, so it's like very different dynamic. You know, it's a grind
It
for the
is.
NHL. But
Yeah.
yeah.
And
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how the Oilers do. I have the hockey news yearbook right here in front of me.
yeah. What's
And
going on?
it's predicting the Oilers to be first in the Pacific with cup odds of 11 to 1.
Oh, shit, really?
Yes, I think let me just as I
See,
just
these every time I every time I hear those, I always get nervous though because I just know the way reality works, and it's like, ah, oh, God, there's almost
Although hilariously, the hockey news is predicting the Dallas Stars to beat the New Jersey Devils for the Stanley
really.
Cup. Yeah.
Oh, is that what they're saying?
Yeah,
Okay,
that's what the
Dallas
hockey news is saying. And it's like, I don't
Stars.
know.
That, I mean, Dallas. Wow, really?
Yeah,
New
they're
Jersey
picking
Devils. Wow.
Dallas over they're picking Dallas over what's it called? Yeah, they have Dallas being first in the Central with cup odds of 8 to 1. And then as I go over to the Devils, who actually played their first game today, which we'll
Yes.
talk
Yeah.
about in a moment against the Sabres in Prague, Czechia. They have the Devils as first in the Metro, cup odds at 10 to 1. And just for the giggles,
Wow.
let me hop over to my Washington
Of
Capitals,
course, yes.
which I actually have a place marker for me. They have the Caps fifth in the Metro with cup odds of 40 to 1.
Okay.
And let's see here. Where do they have them? I have to go to another page just to see. Oh no, I went too far. I don't care about Vince Dunn. They have the Capitals not making the playoffs because the hockey news. This is tells you how flawed the hockey news is. So
Not
hockey,
making the playoffs, really?
yeah,
Wow.
the hockey news. I'm going to go by division. Has in the Atlantic Division, Panthers number one,
Okay.
Maple Leafs number two, Lightning number three, Boston number four, and getting one of the wild card spots.
Okay.
Buffalo is five, Detroit is six, Ottawa seven, Montreal eight.
Okay.
For the Metropolitan Division, they have the Devils at number one, the Rangers at number two, the Hurricanes at number three. The Islanders at number four taking the other wild card spot, which is laughable because their roster is putrid.
Yeah.
Like the only reason they win games is because they play Lamoriello's system, and that's about it. And they do the clutch and grab stuff that you're not supposed to do anymore. But Lou probably has something on Bettman on that one.
Yeah.
Take that one to the bank. The Capitals at five. The Penguins at six, the Flyers at seven, and the Blue Jackets at eight. In the West, in the Central Division, you have Dallas at one, Colorado at two, Nashville at three, Winnipeg at four, getting a wild card spot.
Okay.
This is an interesting one for hockey news. Utah Hockey Club, the former Arizona Coyotes, or technically they're not formally the Arizona Coyotes because Utah is considered an expansion franchise and the Coyotes got put in hiatus. But
Oh,
it's
really?
the, yes,
Kind
that
of the
is,
same guys, though, right? It's kind of.
yeah. So what it was is when they did the whole thing, the NHL bought the team from Morello.
Okay.
But Morello kept all the branding rights and stuff like that because they also gave him 5 years to get an arena built and to bring back the team. You know, to bring back the team as an expansion franchise or to
Okay.
reactivate the team. That's
But
the word.
which team are you talking about? You're
The
talking about the.
Coyotes. The Coyotes.
Okay.
Arizona. Then after that was done, and this was all done in like one day, or I mean, it was talked out over a series of weeks and stuff. Then Ryan Smith, the owner of the Utah Jazz of the NBA,
Oh, wow. Okay.
he paid the expansion fee to the NHL of $1.2 billion because the NHL gave $1 billion to Morello.
Okay.
And then Smith paid $1.2 billion for the expansion rights for Utah to join the league. And as part of the sale, they got all of the players in the
Wow.
Coyotes organization, the front office staff, the coaching staff, like, you know, draft picks, all that stuff. But the interesting thing
Really?
is that the Coyotes lineage does not go to Utah. because that stayed with Morello, which he had 5 years to bring the team back, which
So
was,
what? Okay, what when you talk about the lineage?
but a few months later, Morello gave up the rights to the Coyotes because he's not going to ever be able to get an arena built in Arizona because he's not good, which is probably for the better for hockey anyways. And for Morello, I mean, or when you ask about the lineage, so the history of the Coyotes, that like the retired number of Shane Doan and stuff like that, that does not go to Utah. That
Weird.
stays in Arizona. And now there's actually a conversation of if this is going to happen this way, does the original Winnipeg Jets lineage from when they moved in 96, I believe it was, from Winnipeg to Arizona, does the original Winnipeg Jets lineage go back to the current Winnipeg Jets, and they can then tap into that history because the Coyotes always held on to that, just like the way the Dallas Stars hold on to the Minnesota North Stars lineage and the Carolina Hurricanes hold on to the Hartford Whalers lineage and the Colorado Avalanche hold on to the Quebec Nordiques lineage. So
Wow, that's wild.
just the first, but anyways, but when that whole thing happened over the And back in April, that's why you have all these guys. But the thing is that there's no ties to the Coyotes outside of going, well, these guys played in Arizona last year, but Utah is a completely different
Yeah,
team.
I was wondering
It's
why it
its
wasn't
own thing. Yeah,
I was
yeah.
wondering why it wasn't some version of like Utah Coyotes, or, when you get
Yeah.
that kind of weird, like, oh, that was weird. That why are they called the Coyotes? And years from now, kids will say, why are they called the Coyotes? And is it because of this? But I was
But no,
wondering
but
about
they don't
that.
have a name. Right now, it's just Utah Hockey
Now, is
Club.
that a generic? Is that a placeholder? Is that going to be the
Yes,
name?
it's a
Okay,
placeholder.
because I thought
So
I thought
there's
they were living out some Premier League fantasy, like where the
no.
Utah.
They're using it as a placeholder for now, but
Okay.
it is one of the names that is up for voting right now.
Ah.
Some of the names that are up there is Yeti, Outlaws, Blizzard, obviously Utah Hockey Club. So there's a couple names, and I wouldn't be surprised if maybe if we got to either the midway point of the season or when we get towards the playoffs, they will announce what the official team name is, what the logo is going to look like, what the new jerseys are going to look like. I think we're going to get that either mid-season or during the playoffs. I think that's what when we're going to get
It'll be
that.
kind of funny if everybody gets so used to the hockey club, they said, I like
Yeah.
it, because it is unique. It's a unique name for sure.
Yeah. But then the rest of the Central goes 6 Minnesota, 7 St. Louis, 8 Chicago. But the interesting thing is they have Utah with the second wild card spot. And then in the Pacific Division, they have the Oilers at number 1, the Golden Knights at number 2, the Canucks at number 3.
Really? The guy,
Yep.
Golden Knights above Canucks.
And
Really?
then Los Angeles at 4, Seattle at 5, Calgary at 6, Anaheim at 7, and San Jose at 8, which sounds about right for San Jose, but I wouldn't be surprised if they do so. But I would not be surprised if San Jose surprises some people because they got Macklin Celebrini coming in. Will Smith is coming in. No, not the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but the hockey player himself.
Have you watched Celebrant? Has he played? I
He
mean, have
actually
you?
got hurt in the preseason.
Oh, I. Oh,
Yeah,
you know what? You're
he's one
right.
of the guys who got hurt, and I just drafted him yesterday in fantasy hockey.
Oh, geez.
But yeah, so when you look at it that way, it's so and then they picked up Tyler Toffoli. They picked up some veteran guys to really build up the team, kind of like the way Chicago is with Connor Bedard. So it's very interesting to see how everything is going in that regards. Alrighty, so with that, we've talked about the Edmonton Oilers. We kind of trailed off and started talking about how Utah became a thing. But now it's time to talk about my team,
There you
the
go.
Washington. See, I let you go first. I let you go first, Turo.
I know. Yeah, I appreciate your prayers and all that kind of stuff.
But being how I'm based in the DC metro area, and this is where a lot of the sharing gets done, gotta talk about the Capitals.
Absolutely. No. I'd actually love to talk about capitals. So.
And so I'm actually working off my team preview that I wrote for my website, txhthockey.com, which you can find this podcast at as well, and up on YouTube, which later on I'll do the thanks and plugs and all that other fun stuff. So last season, the Washington Capitals were 40-31, 11 for 91 points, and they snuck their way into the playoffs only to be knocked out, swept in the first round by the New York Rangers. I know my buddy Russell had a fun time with that one with me. Some of our key losses is goaltender Darcy Kemper, forward Beck Malenstein, defenseman Nick Jensen, forward Max Pacioretty, as well as Nicholas Aubé-Kubel. And I put them on this list because it's relevant, but obviously forwards TJ Oshie and Nicklas Backstrom both on the long-term IR for the Washington Capitals. Obviously, Backstrom played the first month of last season, and then on November 1st said, "I'm stepping away from the game, and this is the last year of his contract." And obviously, it's been well documented with TJ Oshie that he's been having his back issues, and he pretty much is going to get put on long-term IR for what is going to be the last year of his contract as well with the Washington Capitals. So obviously, those are two huge losses for the Capitals because those are locker room leaders, heart and soul type of guys in that locker room for the Caps. The additions are Pierre-Luc Dubois, who we acquired from Los Angeles for Darcy Kemper, Andrew Mangiapane, Logan Thompson, which that was an interesting one when we traded for him because we got him from the Vegas Golden Knights during the draft, which was held in Vegas, and it happened 30 minutes before he went to go do an autograph signing with fans.
Nice,
That really
nice.
happened. He still
Wow.
showed up to do the autograph signing after he was traded to the Washington Capitals. So
Well,
they that so it was the most
those
awkward.
autographs will be collector's items.
Yeah, so it was very awkward. Obviously, defenseman Jakob Chychrun from Ottawa, who we acquired in place of Nick Jensen, Matt Roy on defense, Brandon Duhaime, and Taylor Radish both forwards. Obviously, for the Capitals, they overturned a third of their roster going into this season. Unlike what we just talked about with Edmonton, where it's like little pieces here and there, the Capitals did an overhaul. And when I release this note, I will have some stuff on here about Ethan Bear. I know he got put on waivers today. I am super nervous and I hope he does not get claimed. Obviously, Bear was the defenseman that the Capitals put on waivers today because what a lot of people don't understand is while Nicholas Backstrom is on long-term IR already and is not going to count against the cap and does not need to be listed on the opening day rosters come Monday, TJ Oshie needs to be on the roster before they can announce him for long-term IR
Oh,
and
okay.
open up the cap space. Because
I
what it is that because Backstrom ended the season on long-term IR and he's starting the season that way too, they don't have to do anything because they've already had the medical proof that Backstrom is not going to be playing. Whereas with TJ Oshie, because he did play in the playoffs. And then they announced on the first day of training camp that he failed his medical and that he is not going to be playing. He has to be put on the roster. And then once the rosters have been approved, they can then place him on long-term IR. And then that will open up the cap space for the Capitals. So that is why Ethan Bear was put on waivers today.
see.
Fingers crossed that he clears waivers and that the Caps send him down the Hershey because I want him to remain a Washington Capital. Because I've been following that man's journey since he was with Edmonton as a rookie. And especially the fact that, he just got out of the player assistance program at the end of last season. He's, he's been very open about the anxiety and depression that he was dealing with that caused him to go into it. I really want the best for this guy. So obviously, and I want it to be with the Washington Capitals. You can't blame me for that one.
Of course.
So looking at this roster, we have all this turnover. So the big question is, is Pierre-Luc Dubois going to be that first line center that people think he can be, with Alex Ovechkin and maybe even Tom Wilson. We know in the preseason, Dubois and Wilson have actually meshed really well with Connor McMichael on the wing. So, so there's a lot of questions about that. You know, obviously Brandon Duhaime and Taylor Radish replaced Beck Malenstein, and even one could say Nicholas Aube-Kubel, and one can even say Michael Scarbosa, who was also put on waivers today for the Capitals with the purpose of sending to Hershey of the AHL, kind of creates that new fourth line with Nick Dowd down the middle.
Right.
So, and then you got Andrew Mangiapane, who I've always loved him with Calgary. I've always loved watching Mangiapane play. So I'm actually really excited that we got him with the Caps. And then obviously on defense, you got Jacob Chikrin and Matt Roy. So it's going to be interesting how this really plays out for the Caps, and then obviously Logan Thompson is playing 1B to Charlie Lindgren, who took over the starting position last season. So it'll be interesting to see how much that chemistry they can build it as quickly as they can going into the season.
I'm curious, as a Caps fan, I are you the least bit nervous about Dubois or?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm just thinking, it's that weird thing of the talent's clearly there, but it's just, what they always say is that the best predictor of anything is what has preceded it. You know what I mean? And I'm just wondering, it's been
kind of, here's the interesting thing about the whole Dubois-Kemper trade.
Yeah.
The Dubois-Kemper trade has been talked about since January by Hockey Night in Canada's Elliot Friedman. Elliot Friedman on Hockey Night in Canada since January has been saying, and even in his 32 Thoughts blog posts, and even occasionally on the 32 Thoughts podcast, he has been constantly saying, I see a Darcy Kemper for Pierre-Luc Dubois trade straight up. And he's been saying that since January, and then it happened this summer. It happened right around the draft, right before free agency.
Yeah.
And he was right. It does make you nervous because this is now his fourth team in 4 years. You started with Columbus, then went to Winnipeg, then did the sign in trade to Los Angeles. And, credit goes to Rob Blake. He says, hey, it just didn't work out. General manager of the Kings, he said, hey, it just didn't work out. We didn't make it work for him. Yeah. And then even Dubois has come out and says, like, you know what? I tried my best and it just didn't work. And Matt Roy, we signed from the LA Kings.
Yeah. Yeah.
And obviously one of the things that Matt Roy said when he was doing his introductory press conference with the media for the Caps was somebody asked him, it's like, what are your thoughts on Dubois? And he says, if I didn't like the guy, I wouldn't have signed with the Capitals. Now, would I?
Right. Right.
So that tells you that Dubois is a well-liked guy in the locker room he's a good teammate. It's just some places it just doesn't work. With Ovi, it sparks him.
And you never know. I mean, people do just end up in the right place, and maybe the Washington is a place, and you just need to find that home. I don't know, but it is. If I was a Caps fan, I'd be.
A lot of us are nervous about Dubois, and we have the right to be nervous about Dubois. And I write about it in my preview, which is coming out on this upcoming Friday, the 11th, on txhdhockey.com. So I can't give away all my stuff. I can't give away all my talking points.
Absolutely.
But the thing is, though, is that look at, like, say, the 2018 Cup team that the Capitals had.
Right.
You had Devontae Smith-Pelly, who, playoff performer, fourth line guy, but he put up 7 goals in the playoffs and big pivotal goals at that too.
Right.
And then look at Brett Connolly, who was a very, a guy who bounced around a bit, was, I think, a third overall pick. And he comes to Washington and he becomes an essential cog to the Caps winning the cup. And so you look at some of these guys like Sonny Milano, Dylan Strome, they've had resurgences here in Washington, because sometimes, because it's with Strome, Chicago just didn't even qualify him. And they let the guy walk, and everyone's like, what's going on here? Why would they just let this guy walk? This is I think another third overall pick, in a draft. And so he comes to Washington on a 1 year prove it deal, and he proved what he really is. And then same thing with Sonny Milano. Fun fact about Sonny Milano, 2 seasons ago, he went into Calgary Flames training camp on a PTO. Did not get signed. And then he signed with the Washington Capitals. And then, and then he had his rise up. I mean, granted, last season he was banged up a bit. So you kind of hope with Dubois that he has that. And if from the little that we've seen of him with Tom Wilson and Connor McMichael as his line mates. And even the off chain, the times that he's going to be on the ice with Ovechkin, we know Ovechkin's like going to light a fire under him because he's not going to accept less, kind of like with Connor McDavid on the Oilers. Wilson, who's now going to be a permanent alternate captain on the team this season, he's going to put that accountability on Dubois as well. John Carlson, also part of the leadership group on the team, is going to bring that accountability to Dubois. And I think that's going to be a major thing. And not only that, but you have to bring up the fact of Spencer Carberry, the coach of the Washington Capitals. Look what he did to Anthony Mantha last season. Everybody was down on Mantha, like, trade this guy. The guy had no trade value. You couldn't even like, and like buying him out wasn't an option because you try not to do that too much. And Carberry comes in his first season. This is a sophomore coach now, this season. This is Carberry's second ever season coaching in the NHL. And he came in and he turned Anthony Mantha around to the point where the Capitals could trade him to Vegas for a third round pick. And now he's with Calgary on a 1 year prove it deal. So, sometimes that's where it also lies. It's the coach that's there that
Agree.
can unlock that potential within the player.
I
And
agree.
so we're hoping that, Carberry can do the same thing to Mantha or to Dubois that he did for Mantha. So we'll see.
Yeah, I
We
mean,
shall see.
and I mean, fortunately the talent's there, and that you can't. We have no, one has no control of that, but the talent's there, and maybe you can make it work. But it's strange. People's minds are bizarre, and it could be he could have a bad rap too. You never know. I mean, you never know what people say about people and the way they actually are. Very often, very, very different. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. What do you think of the whole Ovi watch? Is it going to hit? Is it going to happen this year?
So excited for it. So, and I'm great. I'm glad that you asked that because this is my first season ever as a season ticket holder. Now, I've
Oh
now
my
I now
God. All
now
right.
I've always had partial plan where I go to maybe like 5 to 10 games a season. But this season is my first time being full season, 41 games plus the preseason, which I haven't gone to a single preseason game yet. Because I want my first game as a season ticket holder to be the home opener. You don't want it to be a preseason throwaway game.
I'm with you. Yeah, I understand.
But it what well and there's 2 reasons why I did it this season. And I'm going to do it next for the next at least the next 2 seasons. Ovi's in the last 2 years of his contract. So number one reason is that this season is the Washington Capitals' 50th anniversary. And oh my God, all the retro nostalgia. Oh, I'm gonna love it. Because I'm a nerd for like retro stuff. And then I mean, I'm literally just announced on my birthday on Tuesday, so close to the story of the 1997-98 Washington Capitals, a docuseries that will be coming up on my website, TXHT, hockey.com. Can't
Nice,
say
nice.
it enough. First chapter drops on Monday, October 7th.
Calendar.
Sorry for the 20-minute read. But I'm excited because it's like that's the type of stuff I love. And I love the old Blue Eagle. Obviously this season the alternate jerseys, the reverse retro from the other season, the black screaming eagle. Love the jersey. I'm happy it's back. I would have preferred it in blue with the bronze replaced in gold, but that's just me.
Okay.
That's the first reason, because it is the 50th anniversary and I'm super into the nostalgia and all that. I'm a history buff, you know, in a way, a history nerd. The second reason is because of Ovechkin. And he's 42 goals away from breaking the record. He's 47 goals away from becoming the first 900 goal scorer. And this is the thing that nobody's talking about. Nobody is talking about 900. They're talking strictly about Gretzky. And the fact is that I think this year Ovi's going to want to get it done. And with the changes that the team has done, bringing in Dubois, bringing in Mangiapane, you know, bringing in Chychrun, bringing in some more offensive weapons to take onus off of Ovechkin to be the guy. Because one of the interesting things that a lot of people don't know is that coming back from the All-Star break, Ovi's scored at a, like, I believe at a 52 goal pace for the second half of the season. If that was the beginning of the season, he would have scored around 52 goals.
Okay.
And as long as we're getting that Ovechkin from the start of this season and he maintains that consistency, I mean, yeah, there's going to be ebbs and flows throughout the season, but he maintains that consistency, I can see him getting it this season. But I'm also hoping and wanting to see Ovechkin hit 50 goals this season so he can break two records
Yeah,
in one
so
season.
said
The
was
first one would be the 42 goals would break Gretzky's goal record. The 47 would, I mean, technically speaking, every goal that Ovi would score after 895 would be a record-setting goal.
course, yeah.
So even if he hits 900, like, yeah, he'll be the first one to hit 900, which is a milestone, but it wouldn't be the record one. The second record is actually most 50 goal seasons in a career, in a career, because he is
What is
currently
that?
tied. I believe he's currently tied with 12
Okay.
or
Is that
13. I do. So anyone in the comments, feel free to throw the actual number, but I do know for a fact,
who's also in that
I believe it is Gretzky. I think he's tied with Gretzky.
Gretzky's most 50 goals. Okay.
Yeah, so yeah, you know, so as I just do it real quick right here,
That's gonna be such an exciting, I mean, especially as you get close. I mean, how exciting. I'm so glad you have season tickets, because then you can just say next game, like you can just keep going to the games and you don't have to.
all right, so according to records.nhl.com, most 50 goal seasons career is Gretzky, Mike Bossy, and Ovechkin each have nine. They each have nine 50-goal seasons.
Nice.
So if Ovechkin scores 50 this season, which is what I'm hoping for, he would get his 10th and he would take sole first place of most 50-goal seasons. Ovi, hilariously, has the most 40-goal seasons. And the most 30 goal seasons, and is tied for first in a four-way tie with Dave Vanderchuk, Brendan Shanahan, and Jaromir Jagr
Oh my God.
with 19 20 goal seasons.
Nice.
So, and Ovi has done that. And here's the kicker for that one. Vanderchuk played 23 seasons, Shanahan played 21, Jagr played 24, Ovechkin has only played 19. So Ovechkin is 19 for 19 on 20 goal seasons,
Amazing.
and 18 for 19 on 30 goal seasons, 13 for 19 in 40 goal seasons, and 9 for what's it called? 9 for 19 for 50 goal seasons.
So which is the record that you're most anticipating right now?
I
That
am probably more anticipating 895, with the hope of 900 happening this season.
I mean, I think certainly that will get the most publicity for sure. I mean,
Oh yeah.
that's gonna be news
T
news
tickets are going to be crazy expensive too.
as you get close to that. Now, how, that doesn't affect you though, right?
No. Because I'm in a fixed price.
Yeah.
And I pretty much pay,
you know, obviously I'll you know, and quite frankly, you know, Gretzky, I'm sure even he's had it so long.
Oh no, Wayne has openly said that when OV gets closer, he's going to pretty much go to every single game, like the way Gordie Howe did for him when he passed Gordie Howe with 802.
There's got to be part of this sort of thing. It's about freaking time, right? You know what I mean? Because like it's his, and there's something great about great breaking. I mean, I don't know. Did you get sick of having every record in the book? You get sick of that?
And here's the funny thing. Two seasons ago, we were given these Ovechkin goal counter bobbleheads that says like the great chase. And this was actually given out to all of us the day they honored Ovechkin for scoring 802 to surpass Gordie Howe for second place.
You know, my thought too, you talked about like real retro. I'd love to see him score that on a slap shot. Wouldn't that be great?
On the one-timer slap shot on the power play? Yeah.
Yeah,
the funny thing is Ovi openly said he did not want to get 802 on an empty net. And Evgeny Kuznetsov passed it off to him because Kuzi knew Ovi was on the ice, and if he did the empty netter, the entire arena was going to boo him out of the place.
Oh, I'll say it again. So
Kuznetsov, right? He had the puck and he had the empty net, but he passed it to Ovechkin, and that ended up being 802.
And he did throw it in the empty net.
No. Ovechkin scored 802 on the empty net, but Kuznetsov was the one who had the puck initially. Yeah. And
yes.
And Kuzi said after the game, if I was the one to score the empty netter, everyone would have booed me out of the arena.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, because Ovi was on the ice.
Yeah, so. But do you want to score that on an empty net? I don't know. I mean, there's
that's the thing. Ovi didn't want to score 802 on an empty net, and we all know he doesn't want to have 894, 895.
Oh yeah. No, I think like a bruising slap shot, you know, one timer. I mean, I would love that if it was just a classic.
How great would it be? Remember the goal when he fell on his back against the Coyotes and he just like wheeled it in? How great would it be if 895 was a replication of that?
Yeah,
that would be funny. But those are the two reasons why I became a season ticket holder. The first reason is the 50th anniversary. Second reason is Ovechkin goal chase. You want to be there, and having a fixed price as a season ticket holder helps make it affordable, because like as the games get close, as he gets closer, the prices of tickets get much, much more expensive.
You know, one thing I was thinking the other day is having the OV watch, because, you know, I think, you know, outside, you know, I would say the hockey world probably will be primarily focused on that. I mean, I don't know how. I mean, you know, I hope the Capitals, for your sake, I hope they do well. I mean, they're kind of in that weird no man's land, so you don't know. But the nice thing is, I think it allows the team to just do its thing because everybody will be focused on Ovi. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
And not only that, but the other thing about it is that Ovi cares more about the cup than he does about the goal record.
Mm.
But we all know he's going to get it because the team is going to make sure he gets it and try to also make a run for the cup, which is a big reason why. Well, keep in mind, Ovi's entering the second to last year of his contract, because the 25-26 year is the last year of his contract.
Yeah.
So another thing that I want to see is Ovi get the record this season, because we kind of know next the 25-26 season will be his last. And that way the 25-26 season can be more the swan song farewell tour for Ovechkin. So your video dropped, but it's okay, you know.
I'll come back. I'll be back.
We just admire the picture of Turu. But that's right. The other thing, it's because next season would be the swan song season for Ovechkin, and then the reason for the third year would be because
I should have come back like totally like with the whole makeover.
but then the third year of the season ticket plan that I'm planning on doing is because if Ovechkin does retire from the NHL after his contract is up, that's when they should retire his number to the rafters, and you want to have a ticket to that game.
So are they gonna? What do you think? I mean, honestly, do they have a shot to get another more cup before he hangs it up?
I
What do you?
think with the changes that they've done, the overhaul, like if Dubois plays to the potential that he can, Mangiapane plays as a top six forward and can really fill that role of EJ Oshie, Radish and Duhame really bringing identity to that fourth line with Nick Dowd, Chychrun, who's in the last year of his contract, really, brings the offense that they've always said that he's had, and that game that he's always had, because it wasn't there last season in Ottawa, and that was just another case of it just something just didn't really work out there. And then Matt Roy, he's more defensive, but he's going to bring the offense as well. Are all these guys going to click? What's going to happen between the pipes with Lindgren and Thompson? So there's definitely a lot of what ifs, but I feel confident that, this is a team that has better potential of making the playoffs than the New York Islanders, because if you look at that New York Islanders roster, that is a team that is slow, old, and there's contracts that you can't get rid of, and Lou Lamoriello has clearly shown that he does not understand today's game. And whereas with Brian McClellan and now the new general manager, Chris Patrick, they understand today's game and they've made the changes to make things better for Ovechkin. And that's the and they give him that opportunity for one more cup.
That would be nice.
So
That'd be a story. That'd be a
yeah,
story.
but and we're going to chronicle it all season long on this podcast. So real quick, we're going to talk a couple of notes. As I mentioned earlier, when we were talking about the Oilers, former Toronto Maple Leafs and Edmonton Oilers goalie and current Detroit Red Wings goalie, Jack Campbell. It was announced by the National Hockey Players Association or National Hockey League Players Association and the National Hockey League that Campbell has entered the NHL NHLPA Player Assistance Program. He will be unavailable to the Red Wings for an indefinite period while he receives care in the program. We do not know the reasons why. It is up to the players after they leave it to discuss why they're in there. So obviously, we just want to send our best wishes to Jack Campbell and that whatever he's dealing with, he is getting the help that he needs and that it helps him with what he's doing. And then on top of that, New Jersey Devils and the Buffalo Sabres have officially kicked off the season today. Like I
Yes.
said, we're recording this on Friday, October 4th. The Buffalo Sabres and the Devils, they kickstarted the season in Prague, Czechia, at the O2 Arena for the NHL Global Series. And in today's first game, which was at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. And I have to note that because Toro, you're over in Pasadena, California.
Or actually in
Or
LA.
LA or LA. I mean, Pasadena,
Manhattan.
LA, they're pretty close.
They're all the same,
Yeah, they're all the same. Whereas I'm here in Maryland, right outside Washington, D.C., on the East Coast. So in this game, the Devils would beat the Sabres 4-1. The next game will be tomorrow, October 5th, which will be at 10 a.m. Eastern here on the East Coast at 7 in the morning over on the West Coast, Pacific time. And that will be on NHL Network for anyone who wants to watch that game tomorrow morning. So, gotta ask, how weird is it a little bit that the regular season has technically officially started, but yet there's still preseason games?
I think that is kind of strange. I mean, I guess it's marketing. I mean, it's strange too that they're kind of the games are kind of hard to track down too, So it's very bizarre. Like it's a game, we know the season started, but it doesn't feel that way. It feels like there's some obscure
Yeah,
little.
it doesn't officially start until the 8th.
Yeah, so maybe, but I guess these games count, right? So they're
Yeah,
real.
the Buffalo Devils games, those games count. It's just the all the other games happening until right now don't count. But October 8th, the season officially starts.
And there's
We're here
something
in
to it.
the
I mean, I think it's nice. I thought that the cool to especially Czechoslovakia with the Jaromír Jágr,
Yeah.
the
Yeah,
face off.
Jágr coming out doing the face-off drop. Yeah.
Yeah.
So no, it's really cool. And then obviously we're gonna have the
How old is he now? He's like
he's 52.
Dude. And is he retiring? Do you think he's going to actually? Is that
So,
real? Is that
okay.
real?
Oh God. Oh
Is
God.
that all? That's a whole other
So
podcast.
he we're gonna keep it short
Yeah.
because for those of you who don't know, we record on Zoom. I don't have a paid account. We only get
Yeah.
40 minutes, and I got that notification again saying that, oh, you're coming up on time.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Jágr said this will be his last season, but I just saw an interview that he did with Darren Rosen of NHL.com saying he's not sure if this is actually going to be his last season.
I
It's
don't
like,
think
come on, Jágr, we want you in the Hall of Fame already, bro.
I think we have not seen the last of them. But
Yeah,
anyway, but it was it
but it was nice.
was a great game though, yeah.
Oh yeah, it was a good game. Jacob Markstrom stole the
Oh.
show. 30 save or 30 saves on 31 shots.
You seen that crazy save, right?
Oh
The
yeah. Like where he reached back, yeah. And
you
like and I feel bad because I only have one Buffalo Sabre on my fantasy team that I drafted yesterday, which is Luukkonen, the goalie.
Yeah.
And the guy who I'm playing against has Heeshire, Jack Hughes, another Devil, and one of the Sabres, and so he's killing me in fantasy hockey right now, and it's only been one game.
That's right. That's right.
So,
20, 20. But
hey, the
just
North may remember, but the Apostles of Rufus always find a way. So,
yes.
I am the defending champions in the league I'm playing in, that
Oh,
I'm
okay.
doing fantasy in. But
Nice.
yeah, but yeah, dude, it's great, but like I don't think it's really gonna sink in for us until next week
No, I don't think so. I mean, for me,
when
yeah.
it really doesn't sink in sometimes until the Stanley Cup banner gets put up by the Panthers.
Well, and also you and I actually have preseason. I mean, really, I mean, I don't know about you, but the focus is probably on our teams, and they have preseason games ahead, so
Yeah,
it's
the
not.
Capitals have their last one literally tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Against the Boston Bruins, and then I
Right.
just saw the lineup for that, and they're pretty much playing all the regulars. Like all of the regulars are playing in that game. Jacob Vrána, who's on a PTO, is not going to be in the lineup. I forget there was one other guy that wasn't going to be in the lineup, so they have to prove on Monday or by Monday that they're worthy of being kept, or like in Vrána's case, being kept in general or be released from the PTO. And for the other guy, are we going to send you to Hershey or to your junior team? I don't remember the player off the top of my head. It was like a brief glance.
Nice.
But yeah.
Hey.
Oh man. So we have done now what is called the hat trick of Zoom sessions to record
Absolutely.
this podcast. And so we had to get our hockey reference of a hat trick in there.
Yes,
But
of course.
now. And here's the funny thing about this segment we're about to do, everybody. So obviously we talked Oilers, we talked Capitals and stuff like that. So while we were trying to plan this podcast, like obviously you got to think of segments and stuff like that, make it interesting for everybody. And there are a few other people we're talking to. We're going to eventually try to get them on the show. And Toru and I were chatting via text message, and he goes, "Oh man, we got to do something like Power Ranger or Power Play or something like that." And I just go, bingo, it's the Power Ranger Power Play.
Yes.
And the way this segment is going to work is this. The Power Ranger Power Play is where the actor guest host, in this case, it's Toru, gets to decide what we talk about in this final segment of the show before we go out. And so with that, Toru, the stage is yours, good sir.
Oh wow, okay. I didn't realize I had this much responsibility. Wow, what are we going to talk about? Well, I guess why not? Why not? Just 'cause, the guys would kill me if I didn't bring it up. When the way just give it a little background, the way Mike and I met was at actually this con that was over in Pasadena, Primorph Con.
Major Power
And
Rangers
the cool thing
convention.
about Major, yeah, it was great. I loved it. And I'm actually digging more deeper into the crossover, because I had a sense of it. I didn't realize how deep the crossover was with the makes sense too. And I was thinking they're always like scheduled back to back, and I just felt right at home at that thing. I was amazed. But anyway, It was over in Pasadena Convention Center, which is right by the Pasadena Ice Rink, where I play beer league hockey every Sunday. And I actually did go skating one of the nights afterwards. I was exhausted, but I said, you know what, I gotta, and I brought my skates and I just threw them on. I was exhausted. I had no business being on the
You
ice.
should have told me. I would have joined you.
I know.
I'd have to rent skates though, but I would have
Oh, okay.
joined you.
I probably should. I just thought it's the end of the day. Says I can, I got, they're paying for parking and I'm not gonna, like, I'm not gonna go skate. So anyway, and it's funny too, because that night I think the playoffs were that weekend too. And I was going to, and I was called up by, I this is a long, I didn't play enough games that last season to qualify, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I was calling up saying, all right, yeah, when is the game? Because if we're at the 10:30 game, I can totally make that, blah, blah. And they were mentioning the teams and our team was not mentioned. And so I said, all right, I guess that's not happening. But anyway, that it was kind of funny. So that's when I brought you up. And I think you're wearing those cool jerseys, right? Those
Yeah, so the Saturday of Power Morphicon, I wore the Power Rangers 30th anniversary jersey. And then on the Sunday, I wore the Goldar jersey, both of which are hockey jerseys made by Geeky Jerseys.
Yeah, I want to talk to you later about work. I mean, I think I was talking to my beer league team. They're saying, I think, how about a Power Rangers alternate jersey, for the team? But
I mean, you were Shredder. You could always do a Shredder alternate jersey.
that's true. That's true. Well, I don't think I'm good enough. I don't think I'm just a role player on the team, so I don't think I can quite command that yet. But yeah, so I've been playing with these guys for a while, and just it's funny, we're talking about the Utah Hockey Club, right? The weird placeholder names, right? Well, our placeholder name, this is how I kind of end up with these guys. This is years ago. I've been playing with these guys for years. It's a blast. I would say that at the end of the night, no matter how crappy I played or how crappy our team played or how well, I always feel like myself at the end of the night. So it's like, and you know what it's like. I don't know, like, just throw on your gear a Sunday night after you've just gone through a whole weekend. You just don't feel like it sometimes. But then, yeah, at the end of it, it's like, man,
It
this
was
is,
worth it.
yeah, totally. And as I was saying, I always feel like myself again. And so, especially Hollywood, like that will do a number to your, yeah, I mean, I love it, but it does a number to your head. And all of a sudden, no, that's, this is,
It's interesting because you mentioned like the Hollywood and you're doing the
yeah.
movies, the TV shows, all that stuff. And like so like yeah, it kind of gets in your head a little bit, like, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and then you have hockey. The
Oh
beer league, and you're like maybe like a third, fourth line grinder,
Oh yeah.
and it knocks you down a peg a little bit
Oh
there. It's
yeah.
like,
And
oh,
li
yeah, maybe I'm
literally,
not that important after all, because
but literally get knocked. I literally get knocked down that night on a regular basis. But one thing that I thought was but anyway, the story of the name is the way it happened is I think I was just I can't remember. I was just playing stick time or whatever, Pasadena, blah blah. And someone said, "Oh, are you going to draft skate tonight?" I goes, "What is that?" I goes, "Well, that's where they pick out a new player." And goes, "Well, I'm not going to play league. That's too much of a commitment, right?" And he goes, "Well, if you don't show up tonight, you don't even have a shot. You know what I mean? Like if I don't go, I can't. You know." And I'm thinking, well, and I'm one of these people that I like to always leave the door open. I like so I show up and I played okay. And I think I don't know if I don't. I think I scored a hole. I think I hit a crossbar, which I was. It's kind of cool, right? And there's something almost cooler about that sometimes. You hear that clang, and anyway, and then I go home. I don't hear anything, right? And I'll be after slugging through Hollywood. Okay, even now, I mean, I've gotten so used to rejection in my life. All right, even the freaking beer league has not called me back, and then finally out of the blue. So, and like I do with a lot of my roles, the second I give up on it, that's when I get the phone call. I swear, it's this very bizarre pattern. And the director that think is, hey, can you play? And he was trying to throw a team together because they need to fill this one slot. And it was all last minute, clearly on the rinks part, right? And they said, and for now, your name is TBD. For now,
The
we're just
TV.
TBD. It's on the schedule as TBD. Like that's what it was on. We need to fill this slot for the team. We put a great team together, and I'm maybe one of the three original people. Great, really fantastic guys. I love playing with them, and And so someone threw bombers on there, and we have this little bomber logo. So
for people who are we just lost the camera for Toro again already. But for those who are watching on YouTube, you can obviously see the jersey that he's wearing. But for those who are listening to the episode, it is essentially kind of like a New Jersey Devils jersey, where it's the shoulders and the red with the sleeves with the white. But it's a big circle. It looks like the bomber from Mario.
And it says
TBD Bombers on top. And that's pretty cool. That's pretty solid.
So it's a cool it's great. I always love it. We've won three championships. We've had good year this year. We had our season opener last week, and I think it's good. But we didn't make the playoffs last time, so I don't know. You know, we'll see. But
it's those ebbs and flows.
Ebbs and flows, and it looked good. The first game, you know, one of those games where we won, and but it was like, it looks good. You know what I mean? It doesn't look like, okay, this doesn't look like a flaky team that's going to be like, you know what I mean? It looks, obviously it's early, right? So people, you know, people are rusty or whatever, but it kind of looked thin. All right, maybe this is a good year. So, but we've won the championships before, so that's fun. And we're gonna play in the crypto, LA's.
Oh, you mean Staples Center?
The former Staples Center is now.
No, it's still Staples Center.
It is Staples. Yeah, I know. I can't get used to it either. We call it the Crypt. That's what I figure. That sounds a little cooler. And
actually, that does sound a little cooler.
we go together and you just watch it together as a group, as a team. And after they clear out the ice, and you got it at midnight to one in the morning, and it's so much fun. I can't tell you. It's great.
It's funny because, like, I do, you know, I played ice hockey for 12 years.
I
played from September 92 to December of 2004.
And you were like good. You were like serious.
I was decent. I wasn't it's funny. And I was explaining this to somebody recently because I run my own adult ball hockey program on Monday nights in North Potomac, Maryland. And the interesting thing is that, like, when I play ball hockey, I'm like a first, second line point producer. But in ice hockey, I am like a third, fourth line grinder. I'm not as gifted. And, like, yeah, there's different physics to the game with a puck and a ball and, you know, all that other stuff. And, you know, it's always interesting because I explained it to them. It's like, yeah, it's like when I played ice, it was this. Plus, the other thing is, it's like, okay, now I'm 5'11". I'm 160. I teeter between 155 and 165. It depends on, you know, where I'm at with hockey at the time. Like, right now, I'm just playing pickup and having fun and running my program. So, you know, I could be in that 155, 160. But next year, when I'm getting ready to go to Canada, to Brantford, Ontario, Canada, for the Walter Gretzky Street Hockey Tournament.
Yeah,
I'm probably going to bulk up a little bit and get back up to 165, because it's like when you're playing like 3 to 6 hockey games in a 24-hour span, you know, you need to be, you know, a little – little bulked up there a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Sorry about my camera going on and off. It's just it's probably going
it's going, man. I have to keep looking at this ugly guy named Mike. It's okay.
That's right.
So it's like it's interesting because it's like when you look at it from that perspective, you gotta, like, because, like, I've looked at trying to get back into ice hockey. It's just the times is always tough. Time is always harder when you're an adult compared to when you were a kid. I only play during summer, because during summer the times are a little bit better. So I'm talking to this one league in near me in Rockville, Maryland, of like, can I play in the summertime? But I'm not going to play during the primary hockey season because, well, one, I'm a season ticket holder to Caps, and that's a little bit more important to me.
Right.
Then at the same time, I'd rather play at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night on a given night than at 11 o'clock at night. Because if I have that adrenaline kicking in me, I'm not going to go to bed.
Oh, dude.
I have to be up at 5:20 in the morning, like my time, which is like 2:20 in the morning, your time for work. Dude, that's going to be a brutal day of work for me.
A 10:30 game, and I can almost be ready to go to bed before the game. sitting in the parking lot. And but once I'm there, I mean, I am not going to be in bed before three. And I'll come back. It's like football season, right? I'm a Pats fan, so I'm not as excited about it. Thank God, hockey season's here. That's all I can say.
The real sport is here.
Yeah, but I'd go back. I'd have some game DVR'd. I'd swear, I'd come home. You know that feeling, right? It's after game, and you come home, and then you have whatever, and I stop and grab a little food just to re-energize, and then I put on the DVR. I put on the game. And I find myself like 2, 3 in the morning, rewinding on, you know what I mean? Actually doing my own replay, thinking, of course you're going to show it, but you want to see it, the live replay. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You want to see it happen in your time. I'm thinking, what kind of, I mean, this is ridiculous. It is like 2, 3 in the morning, and I am actually like not, anyway. So I'll watch an entire game.
So I gotta ask this question for you. After a game, what is your go-to post-game meal?
Del Taco.
Del Taco.
I gotta say it was something that I think I picked up from the rest of the team. I don't know why. There's some Del Taco thing, and somehow they got those drive-throughs. There's one on the way home. But it's all the decision I make. I go home, I'm going down the 134, and there's this thing called Central versus just taking the 5 straight home.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but yes.
Well, it's okay, basically I can just go straight home by the freeway, or I can take the Stride Street that will make a beeline. That means Del Taco will be on the way home, and I kind of do that just in case. And inevitably, I will like pull in and I see the drive-through. So that's my go-to meal, Del Taco.
For me, it depends. It depends on the time of the day and stuff like that. So lately, after ball hockey, my buddy Matt Greenhut, or as I call him, Greeny, him and I, we will occasionally hit up Cafe Rio afterwards, and I usually always get a chicken salad.
This is the place in DC.
This is a place in my area. It's called Cafe Rio.
Oh, nice.
It's a Mexican place. So we'll hit that up. Sometimes I hit up Quickway Hibachi, and get a chicken and shrimp hibachi.
That sounds serious, right? Because I should do something a
But
little more
that's
serious.
that. But that's what we've been doing for Mondays. But like when I was playing more competitively, if it's a day game, I get Chipotle. If it's a
Well,
night, game, I get Taco Bell.
we don't have many choices after 11. The choices go down considerably. So,
It's like if it's a night game, it's Taco Bell.
yeah,
But Taco Bell is great because sometimes, like kind of like what you're saying, like you're watching, like me, I'll turn on like Adult Swim, or I'll put on FXXX for like the adult cartoons and stuff like that, like Futurama and stuff like that. I'll just put that on, eat the Taco Bell real quick, and then try to go to bed as quickly as possible because it's like,
it's hard. I mean, but I kind of figure, as I was saying, I think it just resets me. And you know what? It's fun, man. It's and every so often you have a really good night, right? I mean, every so often you're actually playing well. You know that thing when all the people in the locker room all notice? It's kind of weird. Those are nice when you really, also even little things. What I really like is even the little things that, like, if you're the third assist, but you started the play, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
Like little things.
you didn't get on the score sheet, but you know you're the guy
But
who created the play.
that created the play, and just little things like that. And then you see a score at the end, score or whatever. And it, so sometimes I sort of feel like, I mean, I'd love, don't get me wrong, I'd love to be scoring goals left and right, but I got to say, just actually being on a team and helping them win a game, that's, I don't think there's any better feeling, quite frankly. So it's pretty cool stuff. But anyway, but that's the thing. So throughout the season, you will be getting updates on the TBD Bombers, season and
Yes.
our quest for the cup.
We are excited for it. I think that'll be the Power Ranger power play every time you come on. It's like, so how's the TBD Bombers doing?
Yeah, well, I'll show you the picture of me with the our little mini Pasadena,
Stanley
Pasadena.
Cup.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
I gotta ask one last question, then we'll go into our outros. Now, obviously, you've been out in LA for a while.
Yeah.
Were you ever able to see a Kings game at the Forum and then of Crypto.com Arena and Honda Center? Which arena do you think is better for watching a game at?
Well, I gotta say, and I guess, and I will call it
And I
state.
saw you shaking your head no to the Forum question.
I didn't, unfortunately, sadly. I mean, it took me for a while to really get into LA culture. I was just like trying to go to auditions, and I don't know. I wasted a lot of great eras in LA just trying to get acting work. But and I'll call it Staples for the purpose of this conversation. Because I love that place. It's called Crypto now, and but I still love it because it was Staples. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think it's great. I mean, I never, I don't know about the other places, but I know the ice is, there's something really special about it. One thing I will say is very funny, which I always notice, is the boards are a lot higher than they are Pasadena. Like just trying to do a line change is like it's like I'm the guy that will like have the door open, during the line change, but it's just, I think it's a wonderful place. I wish I had experience with the other places, then I'd be able to tell you. But I know, and I'll call it Staples because I love Staples, the old Staples. But I don't, I look up and I say, oh, okay, crypto's fine, so. But yeah. So how's that for an answer?
That's fair
Staples,
enough. And
the old staple.
I'll throw this out there for you too. I know in January I'm going up to Toronto, because I'm going to go see Sum 41 play, and actually the night before I'm actually going to go see the Toronto Maple Leafs host
Oh,
the
nice.
Wild. So I'm actually going to get to go to a game in Scotiabank Arena, and it'll also be my first game out of the United States of America.
Exciting.
Because one thing I am working on doing is going to a game at every NHL arena. Sorry, Mullet Arena, you don't count anymore. Which is where the Coyotes played the last couple seasons. So obviously on the bucket list is getting out to Staples and
Oh,
Honda
yeah.
Center for a game. So we'll have to work something out. We'll have to maybe
Well,
do the pod live out there,
and
one
actually,
day.
I was talking to the captain of our team, and I was telling him about this podcast. He's really psyched about that. And he was saying, well, if you're ever out here, you can do it from one of the games. You can be like on in the. On the side, like we'll do a podcast and
Oh,
we'll
we'll record the game and do play-by-play and commentary to
play by
it.
yeah, and then you can we'll set you up however you want to, whatever, and then we come by, and then in between line, in between shifts, we can do a little thing. So anyway,
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll find something goofy that we can do. I mean, I got my ice hockey helmets and everything. We'll just have to pack it in the bag or something. So,
well, and then you can hop on, because you can come in as
the only thing I probably won't have with me is my full ice hockey gear bag with me, just simply because that would be really expensive on my end to get that out there to you.
We'll throw some together for you.
Yeah.
There's a really an amazing lost and found there. So we'll get
Okay,
some.
fine. So what you're saying is pack the skates and the helmet and the cup, and then you guys
Yeah,
will cover everything
well, we'll take care of the rest,
else.
and we'll set you up with a nice video and audio from the side. And
Yeah.
but yeah, it's all good stuff. But yeah, I'd love to see you out here again. So
Yeah,
yeah.
no, I definitely can't wait to get back out there. If I can get if I don't have to wait 2 years, that would be great, because obviously 2026 is the next Power Morphicon. So obviously that's already circled on the calendar for the end of August of that year. But yeah, no, I would love to get back out there and hang out with you, chat hockey. Obviously, we'll still be doing the podcast. You'll be back on, I believe, in about 3 weeks. So everyone, you'll see Turo in 3 weeks. Don't worry, this ain't the last you see of him.
Amanda is sick of me already.
But yeah, so with that, it's time to wrap up. So Turo, where can everyone find you on social media, and what projects do you have coming out soon that you're allowed to talk about?
I
That's the
know,
key
right?
word there, you're allowed to talk about.
Yeah, I am. I so funny. Like, it's such a crazy thing now because I am working on a triple. I think I'm allowed to say triple A mocap project under NDA, so I'm working on that, but I don't know when that thing's gonna come out. Yeah, it's kind of weird. That's kind of the main thing I'm working on right now, and I guess I can't really talk about it. That's
All
kind
right,
of,
that's fair enough. So where can everyone find you on social
but
media?
you can find me on social media at just full name at Tora Masamune at Instagram.
All right. And
Or
then,
whatever, not at Instagram, but on Instagram it's at Tora Masamune.
and then of course for me, everyone, you can find me on Twitter at the Lindenbaum 75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75 productions. Instagram is also at the Lindenbaum 75. I changed things up on purpose. And I think actually all my social media for my personal stuff is at the Lindenbaum 75 now at this point.
Nice.
Got to keep the brand the same. And then, of course, obviously, this is under the TXHT umbrella. So go to TXHTHockey.com. That's where you'll be able to find the podcast. And then also, you will see all the other work that I do. I have my Capitals preview coming out on October 11th. I have the first chapter of So Close, the story of the 1997-98 Washington Capitals, which is a labor of love project for me that I've been working on for over a decade, and it's finally seeing the light of day. I originally wanted to be a film project, but I'm going to have to settle with a blog series instead. That comes out on Monday, October 7th. So go to txhthockey.com for that. And of course, social media at txht underscore hockey on all of social media. And obviously, this is brought to you by coolhockey.com. Go to coolhockey.com/txht to go get your official licensed NHL jerseys. I get all my jerseys from them all the time. Actually, as soon as we're done recording, I'm going to start showing Turo some jerseys that I got, and he's going to be kind of jealous of a couple of them. They do great quality. It comes out straight out of Toronto, Canada. So coolhockey.com/txht. Go check them out or click the link below here on txhthockey.com's website. And of course, if you're listening to this as an audio version, we would like to thank Johnny Young Bosch and his former band Eyeshine for the song Modern Guns that played at the beginning of the episode. For those of you on YouTube, we did not come out to music because I don't want to get copyright striked on the first episode. We are working on it. Give us some time. We will have an intro song in the future. But for audio, we do want to thank Johnny Young Bosch for the song Modern Guns. So with that, Toro, this was a fun conversation that
It
we've
was.
had.
It was fun. Yeah. And
And
the season's just begun.
yeah, it literally has just begun, but it
Really.
doesn't feel like it has.
It
It's
doesn't.
weird.
Yeah. Our season hasn't quite begun.
Yeah, it exactly.
Yeah. And I was going to say, too, I'm kind of hit these days. I've been kind of hitting the convention circuit. So just look at my Instagram and I'll keep you updated on that. If you ever, hopefully, I'll be passing through your town.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Totally worth it. Go meet this guy. He's awesome. As
Yeah.
I point the wrong direction with cameras,
Okay.
I got to do it that way. Yeah, it's like, so with that, I'm going to end it the way I used to end the TXHT podcast. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this has been the More Phenomenal Hockey Show. And until next time, we will see you at the rink.